Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You know what? I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for doing what you do. I got something for you, Drew.
Oh, what do you got?
Something I was thinking about earlier in the week, which was knowing people, but mainly knowing your boss.
What do you mean?
Well,
where are we going with this? Why does that apply to me?
No, it doesn't apply to you.
Oh, okay.
It applies to people I have to deal with where I go, here's what I like and here's what I don't like. Mm-hmm. It's not really... Some of it's arbitrary. I don't like it when people do this. I don't like when people do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like it. There's a whole new breed of cat, employees, where you say to them something like, they'll go like, well, it wasn't my fault because so-and-so didn't say anything. And then you go, yeah, but you could have checked with so-and-so the day before. And they go, ugh. Like, so it's whole, there's a whole new breed of cat of weird guys making like eye rolls and pouts and weird stuff no one would ever do to their boss ever.
There was a, I'll
ever, like, if one of my construction foremen was like, you should have known to use Tico nails on those clips. And I went, oh, please. Like, he just hit me with like a 2x4. Like,
with nails in it.
Yeah. I talked to Nate over at the other shop. And that's our favorite thing to do is complaining about anyone younger than us. But he wrestled, so he played sports, so he understands. But, like, he has guys over there where he'll go, like, look, you got to fix this in your edits. And they go, like, you don't tell the guy in the corner office, don't give him the eye roll when he's telling you to fix something in your edit, junior edit person. But he'll get that.
Well, there was a...
And by the way, as a guy who's like an all-state wrestler, it pisses him off.
Mm.
Yes. And I don't like it either.
Right.
So know me. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's some people don't care about that.
Well, so there was a study last week that showed that millennials have 25% more entitlement than people 40 to 60 and 50% more than 60 and older. And the entitlement is, of course, an indictment of the self-esteem movement, right? Because that's where all the entitlement comes from.
Yes.
And
the self-esteem movement is one more thing. One more in the many, many, the circus which came to town of all the bad ideas that somebody tried to infuse on me, and I wouldn't, I said, you're wrong. Yeah. It's not going to work. And it's one of the many, it was like, the self-esteem movement was right up there with the whole gender assignment bullshit. Like, I'm not on board. You handing everyone a trophy means nothing. That means nothing to anybody. You're telling them everyone's number one?
Right. We were talking about that for years, you and I. We talked about
that for a long
time.
Of course. It can't. Anything you know is inherently a mess.
And if you remember, we were interested in most improved. That's not been brought back yet. I still think that needs to come back. Like, really encourage improvement.
I got most improved.
I did too. And it was the most important award I ever got.
My junior year of high school?
I got my freshman year.
I was embarrassed by it.
Maybe by junior I would have been embarrassed.
Oh.
My freshman year I was excited.
No,
elated.
Most improved means they used to think you sucked and now they think you're okay.
Well, I knew I sucked.
I didn't want that mantle of used to suck.
Junior year I didn't suck. And it might have bothered me at junior year, is what I'm saying.
Well, no, I got most improved my first year in varsity.
All
right. I didn't like it. Right. I got best defensive player the next year and I liked that. But I did not like most improved. Mm-hmm. I was sort of Maybe a little better than nothing, but I don't think I've ever told anybody about it. It wasn't a big deal. It's not anything I ever... I didn't even like... Most improved is a lot better than participation, but yeah. I still didn't like it.
I get you.
But, So,
the entitlement thing, I believe, I have a feeling, you tell me if my feeling is right or not, I think that entitlement stuff's going to wash out a bit because of the way the world is, just the way the workplace is.
Well, it can't work. It doesn't have any purpose. Yeah. It's not effective.
So
not
kids anything. That are going to be, young people that are going to be successful are just going to, they're going to drop that pretty quick. They're going to be what's called cognitive dissonance. Like, I'm entitled to this, but it does not seem to be coming, so I better do something about that. Right?
Yeah. What I was thinking about, Rob, who works at the other shop, there's two things I hate. I hate pouting, any kind of pouting.
Mm.
I don't like any kind of eye rolling.
Mm.
And I don't like any kind of doom and gloom.
Mm. Why don't I drive you crazy then?
Because I tune you out.
I have a different kind of doom and gloom. What do you mean by doom and gloom?
Well, you have a thing.
I catastrophize.
You have a thing where you go... I was walking through LAX, and a woman came up and started screaming, and my face screaming. And I go, she was screaming. That's screaming at the top of her lungs. You should die. You should die. And she's like, no, I disagree with your medical conclusions or whatever it is, and you're just a drama queen. But Rob will be like, we got a big problem with the Lamborghini. And I'll go, what? Because my brain will go to, the paint rack fell over on it and destroyed the left side of it or something, you know, whatever. Ugh. And then, And then he'll say, we have to rotate the tire or something like that. And I'll go, please don't do the buildup. Yeah. Don't do the buildup. And he'll do the, you know, we have a problem at the shop. It's really bad. And I'll go, was there a fire? And he'll go, no, someone left the lid of the coffee maker open.
What does your body do when
I get the same thing you get. I says, oh my God, what happened?
So
the same thing if you'd said, we got a problem with one of your kids.
My heart rate goes 110, like right away.
I suspect they like it.
Doing that to you.
No, well, they don't like it, but they get to momentarily sort of control you.
Oh, there's that thing again, yeah.
So I've told Rob, knock it off. Knock it off. I don't like that shit.
Is that the same thing as, hey, you remember my name?
Yes, it's the same gene, which is stop it. Stop doing the thing where it's like, hey, so-and-so, we got a problem. You know, he's over there, and it's nothing. Mm. It's no big deal. Just stop doing it. It's not fair to me. And by the way, I get resentful. Mm. And when I find out it was nothing, then I get pissed. And I've been cutting him off. So Nick, I don't know why, but Nick was driving us to the airport the other week, and I was just like, on Burbank Airport, and I was like, get off on Hollywood Way. And he's like, well, I checked Waze and Amazon Earth, and it said, get off two exits down. And I was like, it's Hollywood Way, just take you right to the airport, off the 5. And they're like, that says, so okay, they're trenching or something on Hollywood Way. Like, I don't know what they're doing on Hollywood. So we end up going down to like Sunland or something, like, way out, and then we get off, and then we start driving back toward Hollywood Way. And then now we're going to turn and go round the airport, like where the private stuff is. And like, we're going by Leno shop now.
Boy.
And I go, we're running late. And at a certain point, I just go, screw it. Just turn around. We're just going to Hollywood Way. Like, yeah. I can't believe with no traffic at this time, we can't. And for some reason, there is no traffic on Hollywood Way, but yet let us get off the freeway. No. Well, I would have let me get off the freeway. Anyway.
That's all kind of a weird mess over there now.
Nick turned around. Nick did a U-turn. He was in this position of like, are we going to make it or do I have to put it in reverse and turn it into a three-point turn? And he just kissed the curb with the new blue car in the air name. Just a new. It scuffed it. It scuffed it. Not too big. Right. Down low. Right. Okay. But the car's brand new. And a brand new paint job. It's all right. I had no reaction to it. And then... later on, when we got back, actually earlier today, Rob came by. He's like, Nick, he dinged that car pretty good, man. He got it bad. And I said, shut up. Stop it. Shut up. Don't you know I know that? Don't you know I know? I was in the fucking car. Don't you know I know what Nick did to that car? It's been 3 days. You know I know it. And no, it's not that bad. But whatever it is, I'm acutely aware of it. I was in the car. I was out of the car 2 minutes later when Matt DeAndrea went, oh, scuffed it. And I drive the car. It's my car. So you don't have to point out to me what Nick did and how he screwed it up pretty good. And I don't like that impulse. But here's my whole thing. Maybe you'll get a job for Rachel Ray one day, and she'll like that. I have made it clear that I don't like that. It's non-productive. It's bad. There's a whole bunch of things going wrong with it. One is, I feel like you're throwing Nick under the bus. Mm. I don't like that impulse. Mm-hmm. It's not like Nick borrowed the car, went joyriding, and then lied. Nick was driving me to the airport. So, and I was in the car. And then I was out of the car, and we immediately took a look. So I don't like the throwing somebody under the bus impulse. I don't like the, hey, did you think you were having a good day? Let me explain why you're not part of it. Yeah. And I don't like the hyperbole. It's a silver dollar size scuff at the bottom of an air dam. It's not a, ooh, he really got it bad. No, I can show you really bad. That ain't really bad. And by the way, anyone who's ever had it really bad wishes it was that. I don't like any of it, and I've made it super clear that I don't like on numerous occasions. Knock it off. Know your boss.
Hmm. There you go. Back to know your boss. I get it.
The guy who builds... Find Bruce Kenepa's website. The guy who builds the 935s and all the multi-million dollar cars and the first Duesenberg, whatever, just meticulous guy in the world.
And he restores
good
them?
Guy, restores and rebuilds them. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. But he's one of these guys. Like, I went to a shop and he has these push carts. And, you know, with the trays on them, with the parts, you can push the cart next to the car and stuff like that. Well, when you buy them from the catalog or whatever, they come with these little aluminum wheels or ball bearing wheels or whatever. They're fine. Just push it along your cement floor, whatever it is. He replaced them all with Delron wheels. They're all replaced with inline roller skating wheels because they're quiet, because they don't scuff the floor. He had to modify them. Mm-hmm. They don't come that way. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, I would do that. That's smart. That's the way I would think. He's got to show the showroom, Gary, to get the lay of the land.
Where is that place?
It's up north. It's amazing, and you can eat off the floor. Hmm. It's every place, every part, everything. I mean, when you're doing a $10 million car,
oh my gosh,
you can't be wrong when it comes to doing your $10 million car.
Oh.
So we're just looking at pictures of everything when you do things right.
Is that the car you're talking about there? Is it a tool cart or a...
Yeah, just something you push around. It's just an example. But the point is it's a facility. Everything comes from the top down, and he only does things one way, and he doesn't tolerate things done in a sloppy, haphazard, where's my stuff way. You know, I can't find the half-inch drive wrench. I don't know. Where is it? I don't know. Where'd you put it? We should mark the drawers. No, everything is marked. Everything is in its place.
How do you get into that business?
I don't know.
It's kind of interesting, weird parallel universe there, isn't it?
It is. It's not a good question.
No,
it's a fair one.
I'm just fascinated how that.
Well, first of all, I have no idea, but he's always liked cars. But the point is his shop is insanely meticulous. And if you take a look, show like a restoration, Gary, on like one of his Porsche race cars.
So
you can see
an
insanely. Okay, so here's the point. Here's my point. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Your boss could be Bruce Kenepa. Mm. Or your boss could be Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm imagining they're very different dudes. Mm-hmm. You should know what each one of them likes and, most importantly, doesn't like.
Right.
And if you're constantly making your mess and leaving your oil stains out and taking your rags and balling them up and just setting them on the counter, and Bruce Kenepa's telling you not to do it, knock it off. Mm-hmm. That might, by the way, I bet you Quentin Tarantino doesn't care about that.
Here's what the boss here likes. True car. That's right. They can help you buy a new and a used car. That's right. Over 700.
I guess I'm done.
It's over 700,000. I'm looking at the calls. Thinking, some calls. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles.
You talk about stuff and I'll be thinking about, when are we going to get done with this?
13,000 true car certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy new. Is there something wrong with this mic all of a sudden?
There's something wrong with you, Drew.
All right. Thank you. Whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get the upfront pricing information as well as discounts off the list price you just cannot get anywhere else. A better buying experience. You see what others paid for the car you want. You learn about that car. You lock in a fair price, and then you connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer. And the price you've locked in for that dealer is an actual vehicle on that TrueCar certified dealer's lot, and you will enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. So whether you're ready to buy new or used, visit TrueCar. New or used cars, TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
All right. So, Drew, you talk about something, I'll think about something else.
I'm not thinking about something else.
All right. The point is, know who you're dealing with. They're not all the same, but if they tell you, I don't like this, or I insist on that, then please appease them, because that's what the boss likes. It doesn't mean the boss is always right, but know who your boss is and stop pissing them off.
I think entitlement gives people a weird impulse to come up against it, to push up against what the boss doesn't like. You know what I mean?
Isn't that the fastest way to get nowhere.
Yeah. But isn't nice.
Thank you.
Isn't that sort of what entitlement creates? This desire to kind of push away things that...
The entitlement creates no boss.
Yeah.
When Nate is over in that other shop telling somebody what to do, he's not the boss. He's just somebody who's telling him what to do, and that person doesn't like being told what to do. That's the dynamic. There are no bosses.
There's this weird sensitivity to authoritative versus authoritarian. We don't like authoritarianism.
Yeah, you know what? It's weird. Mm. We don't like people who are successful, but we don't like people who have money. Thus, we don't like people who are successful. Thus, we don't like people who have to tell people what to do. So it's just a kind of food chain thing. It's a math thing.
It's also
we've decided that all that stuff is bad, which, by the way, that's the glue that holds society together,
right.
And we've decided it's a bad thing.
It's also a weird distrust of authority.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the people, the experts. Experts don't know. That's just your opinion, man.
Absolutely. All right. You got a call up there?
Let's go to the boss. That's line two, Paul.
Paul, 43, Minnesota. Paul.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, it sounds like you already answered my question there. I've been a cabinet maker for 25 years.
Mm.
And I worked for a company about, I think it was 6 years ago when I left there, not in good terms. And I went to work for another company where I made a lot of money, learned a lot of stuff. And then they kind of ran into trouble, and now I went back to the other company. And when I started working there again, they promised me after so many days that they would give me about a 30% raise to see how everything worked out. And everything was working out great. I actually have to leave here in about a half an hour to go back to work again tonight after already putting in 10 hours. The reason I went back there is because it's so close to home, and because I also have creative freedom. They let me design stuff and I'm taking on
what kind of stuff?
$50,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a rabbit joint and a dado?
A rabbit joint and a dado? I think we had this conversation before.
Let's make sure everyone knows what they're talking about.
A rabbit joint is on the backside, like if you slip a back into it, and the data would go across where it would accept like a floor or something like that.
If there were letters, what letter would they be?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like what shape would they be?
Yeah.
Like what letter would they make if I was looking at it on
a data would be a U and a rabbit would be an L.
You got lucky this time, Paul. I'm going to let you go. So what kind of cabinets, what kind of stuff do you do?
Now I'm mostly doing commercial stuff. Like I just finished off a dance in the city hall. And so it was full of Kevlar and stuff like that, and it's curved.
Wow.
And I had to coordinate with all the granite people. I had to go over there about 9 times with the people that are putting the granite on it.
Radius work. All right, you're good and they know you're good?
Wait, I have a question.
The other thing I have to explain to you first is they don't have an engineering department, so I have to do all this stuff with my calculator, like with, tangents, cosines, sines, lay it all out, and then give it to a CNC guy. They have it's a pretty small shop, use a countertop program.
Hang on, Paul. There's all kinds of stuff packed into every one of his statements. I need to find out why he left this shop on bad terms. Paul?
The problem was that I was one of the guys that worked at, I had an alcohol problem back in the day. And so, I went to treatment, all kinds of stuff.
You had an alcohol problem.
Right, yep.
And are you drinking at all anymore?
Oh, yeah, I still drink.
Okay.
But it's not like it used to be.
He's from Minnesota, and he builds cabinets. You got to drink. Come on, Drew.
Yeah,
so you left because you are an alcoholic, and they had to get rid of you because your disease made it impossible to maintain your employ there, right?
Not exactly. Because when I went to the other job, everything was cool. They just kind of held a grudge, I guess. See, this is a small town I live in.
See, this is the teacher doesn't like me stuff.
I'm amazed. I'll tell you, I think about all the things I wish my kids don't have, and it's that, they're gunning for you because they're jealous because you know how to do good radius work on Walnut.
They have a grudge.
It's a small town. People talk. Yeah. Like, I'm so blessed that I never think about any of that stuff ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Me neither.
Like, why would you even assume anyone thinks about you or has thoughts or holding a grudge?
Right.
And by the way, there is no holding a grudge. There is, I want to make the most money I possibly can off of my employees.
Yeah.
That's it.
And if he were functioning and good, he'd stay. If he were a problem, he goes.
Well, we're getting back to our overall theme, which is just sort of you are judged by your work, who you are, your attitude, this thing of like, you're judging me because I'm gay or whatever it is. It's not that. It's your work. And as a matter of fact, guys, bosses will put up with almost anything if the work is really, really killer.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are, hey, I'm a born again Christian and I don't believe men should lay down with other men, but this one guy lays down with other dudes. He does crazy good data entry. I got to keep him.
Yeah.
That's how they do it. Okay, I'm still trying to figure this one out. So
I gotta add to that. That's dead wrong. The reason I called was how do I ask for a raise now?
Yeah, what do you make in an hour?
I'm only making $17 an hour now. The job I was at before was $27 an hour.
Okay,
full benefits and everything.
What
and
would you like?
The thing is. What's that?
What would you like to get an hour?
At least 30, because I do everything that they required. It's just...
Look...
The problem I have is that...
He took the job expecting a 30% raise.
Yeah.
That was the deal.
There's that, too.
Yeah.
Look...
So he should get the 30% raise.
I agree.
Yeah. He should go, hey, whatever, just ask. Use what we call wonderment. Go, whatever happened to that 30% raise? I think I can do a pretty good job. Do you agree? Whatever happened to that? I thought 30%.
Wonderment.
Like the questioning. Like, don't come out, where's my raise? It's like, we had discussed 30%. What happened with that? And then they have to explain. Why am I not getting my raise?
This is, Drew.
Yeah.
The art of, knowing where you are with the boss man.
Yes.
Or with the company or with the whatever.
Or the teacher.
Or the cop. Or whoever. Yeah. Just sort of knowing where you're at and being able it's sort of
in intense situations people lose that ability a bit even more than they otherwise would. They may be impaired already, and then if it's intense they lose it even more.
Yeah, but
like a cop or something.
Knowing so the question isn't are you asking for too much or are you asking not enough? The question is, who are you?
Yeah.
And who are you to them?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the question. When I got, because I've done a ton of, I'll just work for free for a while or I'll work for almost nothing for a while or I'll, when I worked at McDonald's, I wasn't going to ask anyone for a raise because when I worked at McDonald's, I knew anyone could do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So, the whole thing would be, hey, 16-year-old flunky who's borrowing your sister's car to get here, who wasn't accepted by Taco Bell, we'll just get another 16-year-old flunky to come in here and flip burgers.
Maybe we'll get somebody who is Taco Bell material.
Yes, although he'd be at Taco Bell. You'd have to have a pretty lucrative package to lure him away. You'd get a headhunter to go over there.
Need at least an enchilito a day.
Yeah. So I knew when I worked at Taco Bell that I had no... Yeah. Sorry, when I worked at McDonald's, I had nothing. I didn't try anything. I was just like, how much would you pay? Minimum wage. How much is that? $2.45 an hour. All right, I'm in. Later on, I got a couple of skills, and I was a sort of had some skill as a carpenter. Mm-hmm. And I went to work for Always Better Closets, ABC. And I worked there, and he had a bunch of guys who were born-again gangbangers who were just like out of jail, and they weren't carpenters. And he needed a carpenter on the crew, not just installing closets, but doing a little work, you know, putting up some base and case and stuff like that. At that point, thank you, I knew I could say to the guy, and I said to him, $10 an hour, under the table.
Of course.
Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And I kind of was able to set my own terms. I wasn't able to say $20 an hour, but I knew he needed somebody who had some experience, some skill as a carpenter, and I was able to sort of set my terms a little bit.
Yeah. It's knowing the marketplace.
Yeah, later on I ended up...
The marketplace is perfectly efficient. It's perfectly efficient.
It's perfect.
That's what you're saying.
Well, the marketplace is the marketplace. It can't be anything other than the marketplace. It is adjust every millisecond.
Right. That's why it's so efficient. It's adjusting all the time.
I've said it a million times. You want to know what the marketplace is? Go up the block, two blocks of the Home Depot. Go to the day laborers camp and see who wants to work for you for the day, mm-hmm. and ask them how much. That number is today's market rate. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change. And it'll always be the exact number you're at. If it was $10 an hour, you'd go, God, that's kind of cheap. If it was 20 or $25 an hour, you go, that's a little bit steep. It's not. It's 15. It's right where you think, right where it feels about, well, he's getting his thing and you're doing your thing. That's exactly where it is. Later on, when I worked for Kevin and Bean, I worked for free, and then I worked for $50 a bit. Later on, when I left Loveline to go do the morning show, after they screwed me on my contract, I said, you guys owe me like $600,000 for the last year for getting paid less than Drew. And my agent kept calling it a signing bonus. And I kept saying, it's not a signing bonus, it's the money they owe me for the last year. And I said, give me... you know, I don't know, $620,000 or whatever it was, and then I'll be whole, and then I'll start doing mornings. That was based on me thinking, who else are you going to get to do the mornings? So, am I greedy? Am I poor? Rich or poor? Is it greedy or magnanimous? It's just the marketplace. It's what it is. When I was at McDonald's, I was poor. When I was working for Always Better Closets, I knew what it was, and later on when I went to take over for Howard Stern, I knew what that was. But you have to know what it is to sort of live in the reality of that. If you're going to just storm into my boss's, Ken's manager's office at McDonald's and demand $10 an hour, just go, get the fuck out of here. That'd be the end of that. Why aren't people more
attuned?
Well, the first thing you need to remove, you listening, everybody, kids? You need to remove yourself from the equation.
Yeah.
Move yourself. You have to think, I'm a slug that works at McDonald's. I'm not Adam. I'm just somebody who works at McDonald's to them.
Yeah.
And to Tom Billman, I think it was, over at Always Better Closets, I'm just a carpenter he wouldn't mind working with, but not for $15 an hour. You have to know where you are.
Yeah.
And know that it's never, it's really nothing, it's really never even personal.
Sometimes some people learn where they are by negotiating. I want 15, get out of here. Well, okay, I'll take 12. You know what I mean? You go back and forth a little bit, but where you land is the market value.
That day, that time.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why, I don't think it helps anyone to work themselves into the equation.
No. Well, have accurate self-assessment. That's where people get messed up.
Right.
They don't assess themselves quite properly. And so if you understand what you've got, your assets, your liabilities, what you're worth in the environment or that particular organization.
But Drew.
Like I would be at ABC Closets, I would be worth the same as your gangbangers.
Yes, you would.
Right?
Dr. Drew. See? Born again gangbanger. Asking for travel and mercy when we got in the cube van.
But let me say,
I will tell you this, Drew.
Yeah.
Don't, more importantly than knowing sort of where you are, know
your boss.
What they think of
you. The way I think about it, I always think, know how the other side of the table's thinking. Know what they're experiencing. Yeah. Just know what the other side of the table's thinking. That's it.
Yes.
It's a pretty easy thing to do if you can develop it really easily.
No, I know, because it's you know what it's pretty much? It's pretty much like this.
It's empathy.
You can name everybody worked at your office, your medical practice. Mm-hmm. You can name everybody who worked on my morning show or worked on the man show or worked on Crank Anchors or whatever the situation. I don't care what business you're in. And you just go down the line. And when you go down the line, you just say the name. And then your thought would be, oh boy, I don't want them to leave. Or, we'd get by.
Yeah.
And if it's, we get by, first off, don't get onto that ledger. And then secondly, if you're on that ledger, bring donuts. No, you're in the, we'll get by. And the problem with the boss is most of the time they think they can get by because they have been.
Yeah.
All right. You don't want folks to steal your identity. No, man. They have free Wi-Fi. It's convenient when you're on the go. But free isn't always safe. 92% of Americans put their personal info at risk using public Wi-Fi. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves could sell your information to the dark web.
Ooh, sounds scary.
It is. You get an online payday loan in your name. You don't want that. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. They're just the best. You need it. I buy so much stuff online. Your information's out there. You have to protect yourself. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock, well, I got it for me. I got it for my family. It is LifeLock. Drew.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and see promo code. Use promo code ADAM15. That is ADAM15, and you'll save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. Live shows all over the place. Live one-man shows. That'll just be me, the man, doing not Taco Bell material. My one-man show. Chicago, Minneapolis, Nashville. Me and Prager coming out to Brooklyn November 29th. So come on out there. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Find out all about the merch and all the good stuff. Hats and mugs. We got the buck slips. Are those back, Nick? There's a little controversy about those.
They're on their way.
They're on their way. All right. And Chassie, CHASSY for all the moves. Drew.
Check out This Life, me and Bob Forrest, Mike Catherwood in there for You Live versions of it. We've got also a Weekly Infusion, me and Spaz. And Dr. Podcast at Dr. Duck.com.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.